evening, everyone. This is the regular and the final semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board, National Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm the chair of the committee and a listener rep from KPFA. It is January 24th at 5:39 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to start by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, call the roll.
Okay, Ken Aaron, here. Jim Boyd,
here.
Bill Crozier,
here.
Marcus Jeter,
here.
Campbell Johnson, Kim Kaufman,
here.
R. Paul Martin, here. Tracy Rosenberg,
here.
Alex Steinberg,
present.
Barbara Wipperman?
Here.
LeVarne Williams?
Just as a quick note, LeVarne is working with the auditor, but she said that if we need her, she's available by cell phone, and I have a number to call.
Okay, well, we have
and we will need her, before. So, yes, so I will be calling her. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, at this point, we're going to start by quickly approving a draft
Arlene?
Agenda.
How about Arlene?
Arlene will not be with us tonight.
Okay.
Is what I was told. Okay, at this point, we have a quick draft agenda to approve. This is, of course, our public session agenda, not our closed session agenda. Basically, it asks us to approve the outstanding public session minutes, which, of course, we want to do since this is our last meeting together. And then we're going to talk for about 60 to 75 minutes on some of our pending items. I need to make a slight change, R. Paul. The central file server conversation actually has already happened, so that could be X'd out, item A. And that will leave us with file naming protocols, on-air fundraiser receipts, a training update, and accounting platforms. And we will try to make some progress on those four items. At that point, we would adjourn to a closed session where we have a contractual item pending from our last meeting. I thought a time certain for that might be 7:15. I'm open to changes on that if people feel like another time is better. And that's the draft agenda. Yeah, Jim.
I just have one I've been asked by the station, we have a little bit of a problem with bounced payroll checks, and I'd like to discuss that for a little bit, maybe just a few minutes.
Okay. I'm guessing an item like that might be closed session or would get to closed session pretty fast. What do you think?
That'd be fine. Whatever you'd like to do.
Okay. We'll put it on the closed session agenda.
I move to
anything
adopt
else?
The agenda.
I'm sorry? What was that?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you. Any objections? All right. Done. We do have some public session minutes. I'm sure we have minutes from January 10th. I will leave it to R. Paul as to whether we have any pending from the end of December. I'm not quite sure.
One second while I catch up.
You're not sure either.
I'm writing right now, so hold on a second here while I put that in. Put a time on it and make it so that the next set of minutes will have that. Okay, we have, let me look up here fast. I think we have two sets of public session minutes, and I'm grabbing them here right now.
Thank you.
And they scroll. Rolling. Okay, they're the minutes for December 27th and the minutes for January 10th.
Okay, I think we should do them in order, so if you could take us through December 27th first.
Okay, are you asking me to read them out? Or?
No, I don't do that reading all the minutes thing. Life is too short. Are there any comments or modifications or concerns about the December 27th open session minutes?
I'll wash the dishes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the December 27th open session minutes?
Motion that the December 27th minutes be finished.
Okay. Any objections to that motion? Okay, the minutes are hereby approved. That takes us to the January 10th open session minutes, and that was a very brief open session, as I recall.
Extremely brief.
Yeah, so there's not much to that document. Are there any changes, concerns, modifications? Is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve the January 10th.
Okay. Are there any objections? So approved. Okay, and that will take care of our open session minutes. The minutes for January 24th will be submitted by the current secretary, but they will have to be approved by next year's committee. Okay, so that brings us to our pending discussion items. We have four. We're going to try to make our way through them. We already discussed two of them. At this point, I think we do need LaVarn present, so I'm going to get off the phone for a second and give her a call and ask her to join us. I'll be right back.
Hey, R. Paul?
Yeah.
This is Bill. When we get to the executive session, is there just one set of minutes, the one from the 10th, that we need to do?
Oh, no. Three. We've got three sets here.
Okay. I forgot which ones we hadn't done.
Four sets.
Okay.
November,
it goes back out again.
January.
Okay.
Who's watching the State of the Union? Anybody?
Probably
not.
Watch it later.
I'm in
watch. Oh, we have computers.
With the drama.
Watch it online and fast forward
okay.
To all the...
Hi, guys. So she'll be with us shortly in a couple of minutes. So I think we'll probably take these up in order. The first that we had was a file naming protocol, and we'd had some conversation about that, both on the email and in the last meeting. My recollection was that in terms of the committee's files, we had pretty much been doing that and intended to continue doing it, thanks to our wonderful secretary, our Paul, and we're trying to get, I guess, the Pacifica National Office to sort of embrace a similar naming protocol. So to me, that's something I think we need to speak to LaVarn about. Are there any other, you know, comments on this or recollections from the conversation that we already had?
Our poll fest. There are probably mm-hmm. already pretty close, at least, to some naming conventions for people being CFOs, so it probably shouldn't be a difficult thing at all.
I'm hoping that LaVarn will get on the phone and we'll all agree, and then we'll be on to the next item. I just don't know for sure until we ask her. Yeah. Go ahead, Ken.
It's just that we're going to have to demand that the national office adhere to a standardized file naming convention, and if they have multiple versions of something, they can tag that on in the end, version 1, version 2, version 3, version 4.
Yeah, no, I think what our Paul is saying is we don't necessarily need to demand. We may just ask, and they may say, okay, so let's see.
Well, it's not, I'm sure, you know, they'll be comportable during the conversation here, but it's a question mm-hmm. of getting it corrected when it goes awry.
Yes.
You know, it's going to start out great, but then it's, oh, well, I didn't know what to call this. It's the combined balance analysis of the stations on the East Coast for 2012, the mid-year thing, you know, and the naming convention go out the window. So
yes.
I would say my suggestion on it would be that if the expert is, let's say, R. Paul, that he be available to assist the CFO as needed when a difficult situation arises. Something like that.
Well, without
an additional mm-hmm. resource, because it can be strained. I mean, I'm sure I have certain problems naming files we alter as it gets more complicated.
Okay. Levon, have you joined us yet?
Okay, but in a similar fashion that we have a parliamentarian, we have a file naming geek.
Yeah? Paul, are you up for being a file naming guru?
Oh, I think I could probably handle it.
Yeah, you've been volunteered against your will.
No.
Levon, is that you? No.
Oh, you mean just calling us Campbell?
Oh, hi, Campbell. We're just waiting for Levon to join us. I thought that you might be her, but you weren't. Welcome.
Thank you. I was at a relocation committee meeting at the station,
mm-hmm.
and it ran a little long.
Levon? Yay. Okay, you're here. We have a couple of items in open session that we need you for.
Okay, Mom's here also. She's back.
Thank you so much. The first one that we're talking about involves, just to give you a heads up, and then we'll go back into the stack, we're talking about the accounting file naming protocols. We're going to talk about on-air fundraiser receipts and how to handle them, and we're going to talk a little bit about business manager training and accounting platforms. And once we're done with that, we'll be going to closed. And, well, we might need you there, too. I don't know. Maybe not. But we'll try to keep it as compact as we can.
Okay, because what I'm doing now is that we are inputting the budget into Great Plains, and we have some outside support on this. So that's what I'm doing along with the person. So that's
okay.
Okay.
Well, what we'll try to do is keep you here for the items that we need and then maybe let you go, and then we might need to briefly ask you something when we're in closed once again, but we'll let you go as soon as we can.
The whole crew is here, and we're also running reports and checking reports, so that's what we're doing.
Okay. So I heard Bill was next on the stack, and Ken, were you saying something?
I had a question, Campbell.
Okay, let's go to Bill. He's next on the stack. Then we'll go to you. It was a file naming protocols, so we don't confuse ourselves by the way we name files. Bill, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to suggest that if Levon can tell or Paul if he's going to provide his expertise on file naming, if Levon could just indicate the kind of files that she'll be providing to the NFC and PNB this week, for example, then we could start out the protocol now and try to be consistent, you know, where we, like we talked about before, having the most general part of the file name first, going down to the most specific and the what changes the most at the end, ending with something like the date and then maybe a revision, and starting with something like, you know, budget or income statement or something like that. So it makes it easier if you sort them by alphabetically, you can find them even if they're in a folder with a whole bunch of other files.
Okay, so, Levon, do you have any feedback? Does this sound great, like a good idea, or do you have reasons why this might be problematic? What do you think?
No, what I would like Bill to do, we need all the help that we can get, so what I would like Bill to do is just to send in an email the format that he spoke about, which is hard to follow when he thinks about this.
Yeah. He already did that, so yeah, he should be able to dig that up again. He already did some time ago.
Okay, well, what if he comes out again, and maybe you can look at it and see if there are any changes to what you just said a minute ago, and just send that out, and if there's any change to that, I will inform you. And so we'll look at that tonight as we were pulling together and labeling files.
Okay, I need to go to Campbell, but the idea would be that going forward, when we're talking about budget and income statement files, that we would get them named consistently so that it was easier for people to find things and they could stack them all up in a file and it would be fairly clear what was what.
Okay, well, I usually start with a year, and then go from there. But what I would like Bill to do is just to, whatever you'd sent earlier, to send it again tonight in a clear format so all of us can see it and know what to expect. And if there's any change to what Bill was sending tonight, I will send out an email.
Okay. I guess that's as far as we can get with this. I was hoping we would get a little further, but it looks like we won't. Campbell, did you have a question beyond what the agenda item was?
Yes, I do. Well, a point. The first thing I would suggest in terms of the naming protocol should be the station or the unit. And then, you know, that would give us a basis and then go into what it is, budget or cash flow or whatever, and then the dates and whatnot, because the first sort ought to be, you know, the most general, the unit, or whether it's combined, consolidated or something like that. Okay?
Yeah, I think what we were trying to do was be consistent with what the NFC was doing, because that seemed to be working reasonably well. We could find things within our Yahoo group archive.
Okay.
But I think that's a perfectly practical suggestion. We just need to decide what it is and do it consistently.
Okay.
I mean, we could do it either way. So I guess the question is, Bill or Paul, who's taking responsibility for declaring what the protocol is in writing? Bill did it once. Do you want to do it again, Bill? Or do you want to shift that to our Paul?
Right now I'm just typing up the examples I was going to send to our Paul, and hopefully he can send them. We can adjust that and send it out to everybody. Is that okay with you, Paul?
Okay. I want to be in a stack for a second.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Of course, we should decide. We have to figure out what is convenient for us, and so we get to decide it and figure it out as a group. My thought is that the it should be type of file. In other words, start out with like budget, or you could also shorten things, like if you have IS. That would be income statement, cash flow, whatever. Start out with that, then the unit, and then probably the date. And for revisions, there are various different ways you can do this, and they're all pretty easy. And so my thought is more like, you know, it would be budget underscore WPAI underscore and a date group. And, you know, then after that, you know, whatever we want, we can make it Rev A, Rev B, or just A, B, whatever. And that will usually take care of most of your file naming needs. Of course, we could run into something and say, aha, and then have to change it a little bit, but we can change it.
Okay.
Ken to the stack.
All right. Ken, go ahead.
We should really consider what Campbell was saying, because when we look at, especially when we're getting documents from the NFC, the key issue is, what are we talking about? If it's consolidated or all stations or one station or PRA, that may be the most significant issue for sorting. And then the topic, then the date, and then the version. I think Campbell's correct in that the body or the entity we're talking about is a higher significance than the category of financial document, budget, balance sheet, income statement. It would be more appropriate to be able to sort by, let me see everything that is solely KPFK, let me see everything that's combined all stations, let me see everything that's, if there is any other grouping, and then see all the documents and then by date. So I think Campbell's correct for that. Unless I'm talking some, National Association of Files professionals or something. But if it's just within this group, I think we should consider that. I'm not trying to prolong this conversation, but I really do think it's more correct.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Is there anything else that we need to do besides write this down via Bill to our Paul, get it to LeVarn, and ask for immediate implementation?
I second that motion. Yes.
Okay. I mean, this is not a motion that will carry forward to the PNB. This is within our authority.
Right. I think we've resolved
the motion.
The proper protocol to get this implemented.
Mm-hmm. No. Motion.
The purpose of the motion is to move things forward to PNB. This is an agreement. I'm sorry?
You're away from your phone, Tracy.
Okay, sorry. You can't hear me. Okay.
There.
I don't think that we need to pass a motion. I think this is a protocol. We are not passing this up to the PNB. They don't care.
Right. I'm just originating that. I feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Yeah, I think this is an agreement between us who handle financial files. So if you could just record in the minutes, Arpal, that we have agreed, I think that will be sufficient.
Okay, so we're going to say it will be unit underscore thing underscore date, et cetera.
Underscore version, yes.
Okay, so
or dot unit, version.
It'll be unit thing date, in other words, WBAI budget and the date. So that's
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about?
Yep.
This is Ken Desai.
Yes, Ken?
That is a question for our Paul and Bill, and I'm sorry I don't have the answer. And it's much easier to go period or dash than it is underscore.
Periods will. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's period adequate, but we should standardize it.
Yeah, it should be standardized. And the standard for folks who do a lot of file stuff, especially online,
mm-hmm.
Underscore. Because that shows up the same.
Okay.
Don't want to go into
Statistics
again about
systems.
Other
Good.
Things.
Okay.
Huh?
Safe.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Underscore sounds good. Any objections to that? Okay. That's the agreement. Thank you, everyone. All right, so that means that we are moving the agenda to the consistent
sorry,
handling.
Yes,
Lauren? Uh-huh.
So the protocol or format, who's sending that out now?
Bill is sending it to Arpal. Arpal is going to check it, and then he's going to send it out to the whole committee, including you. That should happen fairly soon.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I just sent some examples to Arpal. I hope he'll add to it, and then we can send it to all of you, and then Lauren can let us know what other questions or that she has probably tonight.
Okay. I mean, it sounds pretty straightforward to me. If there's a reason why that creates problems for you, Lauren, you need to let us know what it is so we can try to come up with a solution. But otherwise, looks like it's the consensus of the committee that we would like to do things that way going forward.
Oh, there shouldn't be a problem. This is what the committee is for, is to help in terms of the latest and the greatest. So this would be great. I mean, just send it to me, and we'll just rename, and I'll get it to Efren, and we'll just rename and go forward.
Exactly, and it's going forward. Don't spend a lot of time renaming things that you've already done. It's just going forward so we eventually make more sense.
Oh, absolutely. We don't have time to go and rename. That's what I said.
No. I don't want to generate that. That would be silly.
No one has time to do that.
Okay. All right, so moving forward, we are heading into fundraising receipts, which is an item that Ken Aaron brought up a million years ago that we never dealt with. And I don't know whether Ken is going to be prepared with an ancient commotion or not. We'll see. But basically, the drift was to address or to consistently treat receipts when they come in for syndicated shows that are playing on multiple stations. It was his perception that this is being handled in different ways by different stations at different times for different programs, and that this was not ideal. So, Penn, are you prepared to talk about this a bit, or is it so long ago that you're not prepared, in which case
no,
we can postpone
it? Well, we can talk about it briefly. I submitted a policy, which then people could, and it's up on the Yahoo group posted there, and I didn't have it in front of me. But basically what I was trying to say is, I might not have been addressing all the complications, but what I discovered is... if Station A is broadcasting a program and they're doing a pitch, and it's being broadcast in the area of Station B. Well, let me just change the program. If KPFK is doing a fundraiser, and we broadcast that program in KPFK's area, they may get a donation from one of our listeners. And they can denote that it's coming from our listeners because he originates it, or they recognize the zip code, or they may or they may not. But if they do, then they're supposed to send the contact information to what they're currently doing. Send the contact information to KPFK. Then KPFK processes it, has to acquire the premium, send it out, all of that stuff. This is very inefficient and creates a delay for the listener. So my policy, basically, to summarize it, was that there be a fixed amount that the service provider gets off the top. Like, let's say it was $75. That covers their administrative costs. And so KPFA, for Letters and Politics, was running a donation. They would get $75 plus the cost of the premium, and would send out the premium and send anything in excess of $75 down to KPFK with all the contact information. But they would service and deliver the premium, not cause a delay. And you know, would it be trusted that they wouldn't? A member of any station, as I understood in the bylaws, a member can only be a member of one station. He can't be a member of multiple stations. So it would just be required that they would code the contact information after they sent the premium. So they would be acting as our agent. And for the services, they would be acting as KPFK's agent. And for that service, they would get $75. Maybe it shouldn't be 75, maybe it should be 40. But the point is just a flat fee to cover their administrative costs. That was my proposal, and as I understand it, the other thing was, and the proposal was, that the best way to handle fund drives is everybody, just the way Democracy Now! does, and as an off sideways comment here, we can always look at Democracy Now! The effective implementations and policies, right, because they're very successful. So Amy Goodman records her show. She never cuts. She does a whole full show, a full hour every day of the year. And then for fund drives, that's recorded later as add-on plug-in pieces. So if Letters and Politics did that, and Background Beeping and Flashpoints or any other program that is going to be broadcast at other stations, they just do the whole show and then have the hosts, after the show, do a playover fundraising pitch that can be laid in at their station, and we can produce one down at our station and lay it in over their broadcast, then we'll be getting the donations because we'll say, no, call here. Don't call KPFA. And there won't be a pitch on the one-hour program that was podcast. So, I say that, but the problem with it is going to be it won't work unless it's a pre-recorded program. So if it's broadcast live, that's a problem. I just realized that as I'm talking here. So these I'm just proposing a solution to this, and I don't know how much further we can go on solving this. I really feel a little bit naked on it because somebody who's worked in this field, a fund drive across multiple stations, somewhere like Minnesota Public Radio or something, say, oh, this is silly. Here's how you handle it. There's got to be a standardized solution out there in the field, and we shouldn't have to reinvent it. But I haven't had the time to go research it. So I guess I'm really not proposing any motion other than that the NFC could take on the task of researching and making a suggestion to PNB and management of a interstation fundraising structure and convention.
This is Kim.
I mean, it's like a sub-task force or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Kim.
We've done on other things.
Okay.
And the only other thing I want to do is I will take a look and see under the file section. What I called it was...
I have trouble finding it, wouldn't I? But I will resend out the policy right now again that I suggested. Okay? So that's all I have to say. Is anybody else on the queue that has any experience with this ever worked for a radio network before that does fund drives? Any reality on that?
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Who wants to be on the stack? I think I heard Kim. Anybody else?
Barbara.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, Kim, then Barbara.
LaVar, I'm sorry, I had it on mute. LaVar.
Just from listening, I can tell that the way the NPR-affiliated stations do it is they all have local people pitching in between the national shows. But it's fine that we opened the conversation tonight. I don't think we can come to any consensus or agreement. I don't think we have enough information, especially since Arlene's not here and she might have some, you know, input about this. So ultimately, I'm going to make a motion that we can have a conversation, but ultimately to table this and take it up in the new session and come back with a little more information. Perhaps we can do some research or something.
Oh, no, a motion to table. Well, that is not debatable.
I don't want to make it now because I want to let the people who want to talk about it. But I'm
okay.
saying that ultimately that's my opinion. You know, I want to hear what everybody has to say, but ultimately I don't think we can come to, a real well-thought-out motion based partly because Arlene isn't here.
Right, which is reasonable. Thank you for not making it formal. I was about to have one of those parliamentary procedure protests that said I want the rest of the people on the staff to be able to talk and can we break the rules because it's a committee.
No, I tried to make that clear. I said, ultimately.
Great. Okay, so let's carry on with the SAC, and if we want to do a formal motion to table at the end of it, we'll do that. Barbara?
This is LaVarne. Can you have me on the SAC, Tracy?
Right after Barbara.
Okay, thanks.
I agree with everything Kim just said, and I agree with the idea of using the word table sort of informally. I think it sounds like this is a problem, and it needs a little more work before there can be any kind of statement coming from a committee like this.
Okay,
LaVon, you're up.
A point of information. This is Ken. It's called Policy on Fund Drives Across Stations, and I did submit it to the file section.
I know, and that is why we are taking it up, and it will sort of remain loosely on the agenda if we don't deal with it tonight. I mean, it's not going to go away. LaVon, you're next. Thank you. Ken?
This issue is, I think this is something that the Finance Committee should tackle. And that should, because this is an ongoing, and hopefully this will become more of an issue as we move forward and actually develop new national programming, and that other stations start to take some of the programming begin to take more other stations' programming. So, this is very important, and I know it's really with KPFA and KPFK. With the shows that are done live, like from KPFA, that would be an issue because you have your callers from LA, and they're calling and supporting the live drive on KPFA. But on the other hand, the revenue that is generated, the cost of the program is only shared by KPFA and not by KPFK. So, I think this is a very important issue that we really need to delve into and to have the committee and get some station managers or on a committee to really try to map out what is the best and fair way to do this.
Now it's Ken back to the stack.
Ken, is there anybody else who wants to be on the stack? Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to. I agree. I'm reading over my policy, and I have humility. I always see how ignorant and stupid I am on certain things. So I hadn't considered the fact that it's very hard to lay in a pitch if it's being broadcast live. You know, so what good is it? Letters in Politics is broadcast at KPFK as it's being broadcast at KPFA. And we certainly have situations like that with other programs or may. So therefore, it's a more of a complication. But the reason I want to get back on the stack is I think it's very important that we try to search the internet or talk to friends that we know in other networks and find out what the standard or optional solutions to this are, so we don't spin our wheels reinventing something that's already a proven system. I mean, I'll try to make an effort for that, too. Because quite often, you know, if you look for journalistic standards, they exist. And ethics policies exist. Lots of stuff exists. So I think we should try to find it. And we do have people in the network who have, we have a GM at KPFK who worked at public radio in New Zealand. I don't know if they did fundraising.
No, Ken, he didn't. No.
He didn't. Okay,
no.
Great. But we have to find some people who have backgrounds that can, direct us towards a standard solution,
okay,
rather than just brainstorm on it. That's it.
Okay. Sounds good. Is there anyone else who sort of wants to address this? And otherwise, I think we're going to pick up the informal tabling idea.
This is Lauren. I just want to, I'm going to have to go and get back on the report. We're trying to get this budget into the system. So I really, if you really need me again, just give me a call.
Well, we are going to need you. I'm sorry, but we do have some items that we need you for. We need someone from the national office. I mean, we can't.
Well, just go ahead and go ahead. You don't have. Do you need me right now? Or go ahead. I'm here.
Well, let me take a look at what's next on the agenda. I'm sorry. I realize that sometimes we have a fairly deliberate process, and that's because we have a lot of people, and those people have things to say. But that said, we have items that are still on the open agenda that impact you, and then we have an item in the closed agenda. Well, we will need someone. It's not the whole meeting, but it is a chunk. Can we have you for 20 more minutes? And then we'll let you go for the evening. Would that work?
I need to take at least a 10-minute break because I have someone who's working.
Okay.
I need to take at least a 10-minute break because to see how this is going, and then I can come back. 6:30?
Okay. That'll work. Sure.
I'm sorry, whatever time, 6:27 or whatever.
Yep. That's fine.
All right. Thank you.
We can work around that. Sure. Okay, anybody else?
I have a question, Tracy. So essentially we're leaving this on the agenda.
I think that's basically what we're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically kicking it forward to the next NFC, which at least a good chunk of you will all be on. We know that most of the treasurers are the same, so there'll be enough accumulated memory in the committee that it should be possible to do that. If it's okay, and our Paul is the parliamentary person, so he can tell me if I'm about to do something bad, I think we should probably not formally table it, but maybe just postpone it to the next meeting. Is that okay?
What we could do is just move the agenda at this point. If nobody has more to say on it, we just move the agenda, go to the next thing.
All right, and somebody will remember that it needs to pop up on a future agenda. Okay.
I'm sure Ken will.
Okay. All right. Just speaking for myself, it's surprisingly easy to lose things off the agenda if you don't take care not to. So, as someone who has lost a couple of things.
Tracy, Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
If you want a motion so it'll go in the minutes, I move that we postpone consideration of it to the next meeting.
I actually would. Are there objections?
No.
No.
All right. Then let's do that.
All right. So the reason I didn't want Lavarne to go is because the next two items are the business manager training update and accounting platforms, both of which we'll need her feedback on. But let's go ahead into sort of the business manager training. I know some of the treasurers have struggled with this, and maybe they can give us an update on their understanding of what's going on, and then Lavarne will be back. So does anybody have anything to say about that? It's basically a follow-up on some conversations we had earlier on in the year regarding report writer right before the budget, and we agreed that we would sort of revisit it at the end of the year. So that's what I'm trying to say. So that's the point of the agenda.
Something small to say about it.
Okay. Go ahead.
And it is that I don't believe it has actually started, but I think there was a commitment for some training that has been under discussion. And I think with all of the other activities in the last month or so, it isn't, it just hasn't started now yet. That's my impression. I'm sure I would have heard if it had.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything to contribute there?
Not on open sessions.
Well, I didn't have this as a closed session item.
No, I know. I'm
not going to tonight.
I'm just a little joke.
Good. I'm glad it's a joke, Kim.
Does anyone else, Houston, D.C.?
I think that the business managers would have been in communication with each other, and it's all supposed to happen as a group, if I'm not mistaken.
They're supposed to be having business manager meetings periodically.
Those may have suspended a month or so. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess there's more motivation to do it during the budget prep process than at other times of the year. Houston, New York, Washington, do you have anything to add about this that you know about or don't know about?
This is Marcus. When I last talked to Robert, who incidentally is leaving the station, we were awaiting training. So we were hoping to hear from, I think, Lavarne about upcoming training, and he and I were both very anxious about it.
And that's all. Okay, and that's what that is. Houston, do you have any info for us, or New York?
Nothing from Houston.
Nothing from New York.
Okay. Well, then we're going to have to ask Lavarne whatever happened with that, and I guess we can't do that till she comes back. The other agenda item that we had was also about the accounting platforms, and I had given you the feedback that I got from the auditor when I spoke to him regarding the Microsoft Dynamics shift. I guess I'll just reiterate that quickly, which is that one simple adjustment in the platform that the auditor was thinking about recommending was switching to a Microsoft Dynamics platform that would eliminate the report writer program, which has been the source of many curses and screams and general expressions of upset, and it wouldn't exist anymore. And that, at least on paper, seemed like an adjustment that would be fairly inexpensive and really, really helpful. His thought was that he had some other client who was doing the same upgrade and that it might make sense to watch how it went for them, whether it was smooth or not so smooth, before making a formal recommendation to Pacifica that we should do the same. And that seemed reasonable to me. My guess is because these things take time that it may be that nothing else has happened. But I will throw that out there. And then I guess, do people have other information or thoughts about accounting platforms and changing them?
Kim, this is Jack. I made my suggestions last time that,
I know
about a different program, so I never heard back on that.
So. I know. Yeah, because of some of the end-of-the-year demands, we haven't had the participation from the CFO that we need. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever the reasons, it's kind of, I have nothing new to contribute to this conversation without more
Tracy.
New information.
Okay. Bill?
Well, I'm not sure if this has been done, but we should poll our business managers and anybody else that has an accounting background and just ask them what they, you know, what they like and don't like about the current software. I understand Microsoft Dynamics is just, it's a later version of Great Plains because they bought out Great Plains a number of years back.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I was looking at it, it looks like great overkill to me because it has a lot of it was designed for manufacturing industries that have inventory and all kinds of production databases and stuff like that, which we don't have. But I don't know. But there, I don't know what else is out there or what people like to use. I'll suggest you might want to ask our auditor, since he'll be at the in-person meeting on Friday.
Yeah, I think it would be good to talk to the auditor. And, of course, training impacts what accounting platform we're on because you want to train people for the accounting platform that we're going to be using. I have some thoughts about that because I do have an accounting background also, but I think it might be good to broach that at the in-person meeting with the auditor, and I would sort of take that as an action item. I think that might be helpful. Campbell?
Yes. The,
okay. I got you.
What I was going to suggest is that, you know, some of us may be familiar with one or another particular platform. And, you know, because this isn't something we do 24/7, it's not something that we've got incredible, you know, familiarity throughout this, throughout the field on. I would suggest that we could probably look to maybe AFCPA or some other accounting professional association that may do these, NASB, National, you know, Accounting Standards Board, or some other, Financial Accounting Standards Board, you know, some other entity that would be in a better position to be able to survey the entire field. And either if the literature doesn't give us something that would reflect what would be more appropriate for, you know, for a nonprofit rather than, say, manufacturing outfit, then we could certainly, I think, call up someone in the association or on the board and be able to get some feedback on that that I think would help save us a lot of trouble and save us from going up any blind alleys.
Okay, I heard Ken on the stack, then I'll put myself on the stack.
Yes, here I am.
Ken?
Back on it.
Yeah,
any piece of software. First of all, we have two major software applications. We have membership management, which we're using a thing called MemSys, which was written in the 1950s when they used abacuses, and then you know, it's been updated over the years. And then we're using accounting. We're using Great Plains, which is like trying to drive a tractor trailer when we need a sailboat. So, but what I wanted to say is, Campbell's right, but we should be able to develop a subunit of the finance committee to do research like what Kim suggests and looking on websites and nonprofit websites like the Center for Nonprofit Management or other sources like what's good software for nonprofits and try to find out and do some research and find out what other similar nonprofits are using for their accounting and find out what's good in the field and try to avoid having to pay for a consultant to do that. And then if we can do that research and present it to management, they will possibly go forward with it when we can show them the cost savings. This happened with the PEO or HR services. Kim specifically did, and Summer specifically did initial research. It got handed over to management, and they went forward, finding the one that really fit for our organization. But I did want to say this one last thing from my experience in the IT field, is software has various qualities to it that are important. It's usability and how long does it take to train someone? It's really, to me, ridiculous to buy software that takes 3 months to train somebody. It should be so intuitive and have online training. They can just sit somebody down there and say, just go here and click on beginner, click on tutorial, and you'll learn how to use it. It shouldn't be a burdensome thing to have to go through training people to use the software. It should be all online, part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
It should be modular, So there's different elements to it that you can use or not use. It should be transportable mm-hmm. and work on various platforms and be upgradable and so forth. So there's a lot of attributes to software other than it's the best or it's platinum or accountants use it, because for years people use WordPerfect. And you know, lawyers use WordPerfect and they didn't want to give it up, but now it's out of business because it was too antiquated.
No, it's not. It's out of business because Microsoft killed it.
There you go. So,
say lawyers are antiquated?
Yeah. So I'm just saying that one of the attributes, if we do move forward, is that the thing is self-sustaining. It trains the users. Not that we have to now send over somebody over to the Great Plains College of Accounting Software or something. That's too much of a burden. And because we have to have liquidity. And the other, and I wonder if I have some coffee pills. The other thing is, if you have accounting which requires specialized knowledge, you become burdened in your ability to move personnel around, because now the guy who's doing that becomes, you know, irreplaceable, or he can't be promoted because he's the only guy who knows how to run that program. So you get that kind of a bottleneck in an organization, and it's a great disadvantage. We want something that's easy enough to use or to learn how to use that doesn't require a great deal of expertise. And that's one of the attributes that the software you use should have, and all the others. So I'm willing to participate in a subgroup or at least in coordination with other people, maybe on a technical committee, to try to do research to discover what would be appropriate software to do the research on.
Okay.
That's all.
That sounds good. So I think that construct and a little bit of auditor feedback and a couple of other steps, and we can sort of, we have a way to approach that going forward, which is good. Okay, so LaVon is not with us. We have gotten to sort of the end of the open session agenda that we had. We have two items on closed session. I think maybe at this point we probably should look at adjourning this open session and moving to closed. One of the items, the contractual one, I think we can proceed with. And on the second item, we will wait until LaVon rejoins us, because I think we'll need feedback from her in order to discuss it. That's the Houston item.
Question?
So, yeah. So the question is that okay? And is there a motion to adjourn this open session? Yes, Kim,
well,
what's the question?
Yeah, okay. So, so just the procedure is, you know, there's going to be election of treasurer next week. So we're not, we have to wait for that treasurer to set the next meeting. So, right?
Well, no. This is what's going to happen at the PNB. Half the National Finance Committee makeup is set. That's the treasurers. They've collected by the board. When we do committee stuff at the in-person meeting in Los Angeles, one person will sign up from each station for the finance committee.
Right.
That may or may not be disputed. We'll have to see.
Right.
And we'll settle those disputes. And anyway, one person will end up on the committee from each station.
Right.
At that point, there will be a convener. It's usually a volunteer. We'll see. If I'm on the committee as the ex-chair, they might pick me or they might pick somebody else. And that person will convene the first meeting. We can, if we wish, schedule a tentative date for the first meeting of the Finance Committee, and I think we should, and stick it on the calendar. However, it is up to that committee whether or not, and that convener, whether or not they honor that. However, since at least half the committee is the same, it might be a good thing for everybody's schedules, and my guess is that the new convener will probably let it be. So I would suggest that we pick a tentative date with the understanding that, you know, it might or might not be honored. After the committee is convened, there'll be a process for selecting the new chair from the people that are members of the committee.
Right.
And that, again, may be contested, may not be contested.
Right. Well, I think we stick with what we've been doing, which is the second and fourth
Tuesdays? Yeah, we could propose that. That would get us to a meeting on February 14th.
Anybody have a preference?
Which is Valentine's Day. Okay. It is Valentine's Day, which is a bit sad, but...
I think it's really sad if we're all on a meeting that night.
I know. But it does put us on that second and fourth Tuesday thing, which we had been doing with some success.
I thought you were on some martyrs list.
I know.
Do we want to make the seventh and give ourselves a break and then
why not?
Serve the second and fourth after that?
We could do that, except that the elections committee has already beaten us to it. What we could do, and I will throw this out, is we could go to the Wednesday, the February 15th.
No,
take
we
that.
Have an LSD. No, KPFK has an LSD.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Let me make you guys a deal. If we stick to the second and fourth Tuesday, because I think it would be good to convene, you know, in early February, we can sort of make a deal, at least those of you who are still on the committee, that it will be a very short meeting, that basically it will be convened for the purpose of scheduling future meetings and picking a chair or chair process, and that's it. So we would meet like at 5:30 for an hour and not longer. Would that make it less horrid?
I personally don't care, you know.
Okay. Who would rather die than meet on Valentine's Day? I heard Barbara say that. Anybody?
No,
else?
I didn't say that. I'm just venting.
I know. Bill, yeah?
Yeah, I'm
are you in
the meeting? Well, I'm not sure there's a point in meeting just to determine the next meeting date. I mean, you could probably do that by email.
There you go.
Well, and electing a chair and,
yeah,
all right.
The secretary.
And if something urgent comes up, I don't know.
All right. Well, I can schedule the 14th tentatively, or I can schedule the 21st tentatively. Those are the two Tuesdays that we've got.
And what was wrong with the 7th, somebody else's meeting?
There's another committee scheduled.
But we've done that before.
Well, Ken's on the Ken.
Oh,
the
I see.
Elections.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done that when it was like a budgetary emergency. I think probably for this.
I was thinking of the streaming problem. I wasn't thinking of people being on both committees. Never mind.
Well,
yeah.
Double problem.
I think both those things could be true. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and schedule the 14th. If it does not work and people want to change it, they can change it. But I'm going to go ahead and do it because I actually think keeping the second and fourth Tuesdays has kind of worked. And if the new committee wants to do it, I think it would be good for them to do it because otherwise you get into these constant schedule things that never get resolved.
Could I make a request?
Yes.
All right.
Of course.
I'm requesting that those of you on the PNB really make sure that all the directors who are going to be on the PNB for the rest of this year really get their names onto and addresses onto the mailing list so that they are on the mailing list right away. Because stuff that's happened in the past with various committees has been the directors aren't on the mailing list, aren't in contact with things, and it speeds it along if they just get instantly put onto the mailing list that we can get going.
Okay. That's reasonable. Okay, so I'm putting this February 14th meeting on the KPFTX agenda, so it will be there. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen, but at least we have the options. Okay.
Narpal?
Yes.
Tracy?
Yes.
I'm ask Narpal to remind those of us on the PNB to, if he doesn't get a message from one of us by the last day of the meeting about who's going to be on that committee, on this committee, then he can ask us and we can let him know because we'll be deciding on that national committees, you know, this weekend.
Yes. Yes, and we will need to deal with KPFTX and also with the Yahoo groups that we have. Both of those will have to be updated. Hopefully as soon as possible. Okay. I think that's it. I think we can move to our closed session meeting a bit early, which is good. Does everybody have a call-in number?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll see you all in a few on the other side.